And welcome to Triple Feature Podcast with me, Jillian Reck, and my co-host Stephen Dendy and Pedro Vargas. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Don't call me Shirley. If you hadn't guessed, this month we are talking about parody films. We chose some of our favorite parody movies. Well, personal favorites. I will not say that we all share these as favorites, as we will get into.
Quote-unquote, hand-quotey favorite quote.
Yeah.
Yes. Asterisk, parentheses.
Question mark.
So, we chose some favorite spoof movies, parodies, spoofs, genre spoofs, that kind of thing.
Specifically Zucker Bros.
I don't know if we like specifically chose Zuckers, but we just all came to Zuckers.
Well, yeah, we didn't intentionally, pick.
That was a happy accident, but right. But Zuckers are mainly. I mean, the main spoof people are the Zuckers, so it's kind of.
Mel Brooks also comes to mind.
Mel Brooks and Zuckers.
When you think of spoof movies, the Zuckers and Mel Brooks are the two big names that you think of, that come up. So I chose Airplane, which is pretty much the quintessential spoof movie. It's pretty much started the modern spoof movie genre.
Or at least brought it to the forefront.
Right.
Really brought it out there, yeah.
There had been spoof movies before, but Airplane was really the first one that was full on, this is what we're doing, we're not breaking from it. You know what I mean? The whole movie. So...
I mean, I can't think of a movie like Airplane before it. I mean, what was it? Kentucky Fried Movie?
Kentucky Fried Movie before.
But I don't think it was very as successful as Airplane.
Kentucky Fried Movie was a send up of some TV genres and there were
it was a skit movie.
It was a compilation of skits more than one full movie. So while it was technically spoofs, I don't think most people would call it a movie, as in beginning, middle, and end. It's kind of more a compilation of little tiny jokes.
Right, right.
So, I chose Airplane. What did you guys choose?
I chose Top Secret.
And I chose Basketball.
Ugh, okay. So, as you can tell, I despised this movie. I actually just finished watching it about a half an hour ago, and it was bad.
Might as well start with Basketball, right?
Yeah, let's get it out of the way. Well, Stephen, why don't you tell me why you chose this movie? Because I honestly couldn't tell you.
Well, I chose this for me, when I think of spoof parody movies, two movies immediately come to mind. One is Airplane. That's like brain goes to. The other is Basketball. Those two movies always come down my brain right when I think of spoof parody movies. And so I chose Basketball as you chose Airplane. And this is also a movie, that I like grew up with.
I grew up with this one, yeah.
And it was one of the things that you saw with your friends and you quoted with your friends.
Right.
And
right.
It was a very social movie for a lot of us.
Yeah, I saw it. I think I saw it the first time. I don't remember if I rented it. I know that a friend of mine had the VHS, and we would watch it. I think that's the first time I saw it. I liked the idea that it was the creators of South Park that starred in it. I think that sort of caught my attention, creators of a cartoon show.
I actually did not know that that was them until much later.
Yeah, I remember, back in the MTV days, I think they showed a clip and they talked a lot about the movie on MTV. I think it was TRL. I don't know if you guys remember TRL.
Oh, yeah, I remember TRL.
And you know, I think that's where that I really heard in detail, you know, who made it, and they showed clips, and I was really intrigued, you know, and like the idea to combine like baseball and basketball, yeah. And it's like, what's going on with this movie?
Yeah, it's sort of like stuff you did as a kid, you know, you sort of like made up your own little game of
yeah.
So it was almost like Calvin Ball, you know, for those who read Calvin Hobbes. They sort of like made up their own game.
Yeah, little weird things like you know the who starred in it, what the movie was about. Like it really caught my attention as a kid. Well, I was really into weird stuff, and you know.
No.
Yeah, I know. Like what?
This is completely new information.
I mean,
this just comes completely out of nowhere.
So, I mean, I'm surprised. You know what I mean? I don't know.
So I'm looking at the IMDb right now, and I did not know, because I did not pay as close attention to this as the others, because it was like a self-preservation thing, I guess. I did not know that this was done by David Zucker.
Yep.
And that makes me even more disappointed in the movie, because it does not stand up to...
Yeah, it was a little standard that I hold them to. It was pre the scary movies that he later on directed. I'm assuming.
Well, actually, the Zuckers didn't start the scary movies. They didn't come into.
No, they didn't. But I'm saying before the sequels that they directed for Scary Movie.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell like with Basketball, that's where you know the quality of the funny in their you know. You can just tell, like they weren't really going in a good direction. With you know, you can just sort of get a glimpse of that with Basketball. Yeah. Knowing how the scary movie sequels are, you know.
Right.
On the special features, he actually talks about how the idea came from. Like they actually came up with it. They actually came up with Basketball, and they started their own little. Like thing in the suburbs,
it was a thing in the suburbs.
That was based on their real life. Like they
that was an actual game they created, right? Basketball, whatever.
Yeah. And they created this whole little mini league that they did, and the driveways of people's houses. So it's very interesting.
I remember. I think they mentioned that was one of the things they mentioned on MTV as well, like on TRL, whatever. That it was a childhood. Game, and then they decided to make it into a movie.
Here's the thing. I know. I keep harping on the same thing, the fact that I didn't like this movie, but I found it hard to think of it as a spoof at all. I mean, yes, there were elements of, you know...
Like a sports movie?
Yeah, stereotypes of sports movies, I got.
I can certainly see why you know hard to think of as a sport. As a spoof movie, but for me, it was very much what the spoof of just sports genres in general. A sports movie like Rookie of the Year, Angels in the Outfield.
I felt like it was more a spoof on sports in general,
they weren't like taking shots at any particular movie.
Whereas
like the genre in general.
And maybe that's why I hated it, because I hate sports.
I'm not a big sports.
I'm not a big sports person either. But I, you know, there's certain little things about, you know, certain little things in the movie that I enjoyed. You know, it's not, and you don't have to fully understand it all.
There's not much to understand. It's the basest, most sophomoric, juvenile humor I think I've ever seen the Zuckers play out.
And it is. It totally is.
They also did like High School High.
Never seen it.
High School High.
Yeah. They actually did that right before this movie.
That was before it? Jeez.
Yeah, this was before this.
Wow.
Yeah, High School High was like a high school like weed movie.
Yeah, it was I think it was parodying the one with Michelle Pfeiffer. She's like teaching a bunch of kids in high school. And they're like really
Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No, it's a 90s movie. It's with Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Well, anyway, it stars that the guy who does the critic, that cartoon, the critic, and was on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
I always forget his name.
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz. Yeah.
Yeah, John Lovitz. He's the main guy in the movie.
Okay.
So yeah. So I would say it's your most odd one, but I would say it's the up there. It's definitely not as sophisticated as like Airplane is.
And Dangerous Minds.
And that's saying something. If something's not as or is more sophisticated than Airplane.
Gangsta's Paradise, right? Sorry, I totally went off a tangent.
No.
But you know the
song.
Yeah.
Well, that movie was the soundtrack to the movie. That song was the soundtrack to the movie or the theme, whatever, to Dangerous Minds, and that was a parody. High School High was a parody of Dangerous Minds. That's all I want to say.
But yeah, I mean, this movie had maybe one or two moments. I didn't laugh, but I appreciated the cleverness.
Maybe do you think maybe you were like in a not particularly in the mood to see this kind of movie? Like
I don't think I would ever be in the mood to see this kind of movie. It felt very just high school boy scatological.
It's pure boy humor.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, granted, that's not for everybody.
It isn't.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
Namely women.
There are women who like it.
I know.
But
it's just not for me.
Yeah. And that's perfectly fair.
And that's the thing. In the beginning, I was open to, okay, it's going to be about sports. That's fine. You know, hopefully there'll be some clever gags, blah, blah, blah. And they had a couple of gags in that beginning monologue, which, you know.
Yeah.
The beginning of how it starts, like how the decline of all sports.
Yeah.
I thought that part was pretty cool and that pretty interesting.
That was well done. And then it just devolved crashed into this, like, these two losers who never grew out of high school, you know, pissing in flowers, looking in people's underwear drawers, getting drunk, and it's like, what is this?
Yeah, but we're seeing the development of these two high school dropouts, who, you know, we're seeing the development of them becoming heroes later on. You know, we're supposed to not expect for these guys to ever become winners, you know.
Yeah, but they're still assholes at the end of the movie.
The thing is, that's their humor. South Parky type humor.
That's just
how they are.
All right. Yeah. I guess it's just not for me.
I will say that I do wish that there was more stuff like there was in the beginning.
Yeah, like, I mean
the sports stuff in the beginning when it was
there was a lot more.
And I will agree that I wish there was more of that in there.
There would be these little hints of like, oh, okay, they actually have brains. They're thinking, they're being clever, and then all of a sudden it would just be like, oh no, someone's throwing up, someone's peeing, there's boobs, and it's like, what is happening?
That's how it is throughout the entire movie. I get that. Yeah.
Anyway.
Let me see. It's very sports oriented, very very guy. Oriented.
I remember seeing this in Blockbuster.
I think that's where I first saw it. I think
I remember passing it by and going, "That looks really dumb," and then not watching it. It turns out that 1998 me was pretty smart.
I mean, you know, it's not a good movie, and you know, I totally get why you don't get it. You know, or why you don't like it. So, but you know, like, I grew up with it, and it was a silly, stupid movie, I do like their humor, you know, but that's me, you know.
I love the Zuckers.
I talk about the South Park guys, but
I don't know anything about them, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like that's me, you know.
Was
like,
this before or after South Park started?
After.
Okay.
They were actually writing, like, they were actually writing the show or writing one of the seasons while they were filming this.
Okay, because I noticed the one guy went into the Cartman voice for a little while.
Yeah, that's Cartman. That's the guy that's the voice of Cartman.
And I thought the guy who did Cartman was Jess Harnell.
No, it's just those two guys.
Okay, so I guess when I saw him, I guess he was doing an impression. Okay.
Yeah, they do a lot of the voices in the show, yeah.
90%.
Like 90%, yeah. I gotta mention this, I already mentioned it to you guys, but you know, for everybody out there, that I feel that South Park is a way better written show than this movie. Like, I feel this South Park.
Oh, God,
this movie is totally not South Park.
And I think that's because, you know, even though the South Park guys are in it, they did not write or direct this. You know, this remains to be their only film that they had write or direct. They did have input in the form of, like, you know, improvisation and all that.
Things, yeah, right.
But
you can tell a lot of their personality really does come out in the characters. But yeah, that's not South Park. I mean, South Park is way smarter, I feel.
Yeah. I would agree.
Cool.
Anything else we want to delve into with this one?
Not me. If there's anything else you guys want to talk about, go for it. I pretty much said my piece.
Yeah. I felt, you know, yeah, like certain
characters I really enjoyed Robert Vaughn's character.
Oh, yeah, the bad guy?
I've always been a fan of Robert Vaughn just because, you know, I first saw him in Superman 3.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was really excited that Ernest Borgnine was in it, and then they killed him off in like 10 minutes. And I was like, what? Okay. Come on.
And the Will Reed was pretty hilarious when he, well, there was one part where he goes, okay, I want everyone to clear the room because I want to talk to Coop. And nobody moves.
Nobody leaves.
Everybody just stays. And one of the South Park guys, Coop, the main guy, he looks around like, why isn't anyone going away? And that makes up, you know, little things like that make certain, you know, it's pretty funny.
See,
like,
that was a setup to a joke that didn't really land for me. I don't know.
Like, how?
Because, okay, no one leaves, and then he just starts doing random shit, like.
Well, he does it random, like, intimate, like, this is meant to be personal between two friends, and everyone's there, like, you know.
Yeah, I guess it was just more guy scatological stuff. I don't know.
I mean, the point of that joke was that no one was expecting him to be all gross like that, you know.
I guess.
And
it just felt flat for me. Like, I was ready to laugh, and then it just fell flat. Like, that joke. Like,
it wasn't well executed. It wasn't super hilarious. But, you know, it's still pretty okay. It's okay.
Like, that could have been, like, a really, really funny moment. Like, okay, he's going to say something that no one else should be hearing.
He was singing, I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt. So that, and it's Ernest Borgnine. I guess. There's some funniness in it. You got to admit.
I wasn't put off by it because it was Ernest Borgnine and I like him. Because he could, you know, he was just this, just everyman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I didn't think the writing was as tight as it could have been.
There were certain visual gags.
There was a couple of moments that were okay. Yes. But overall, I mean, compared to Airplane, which is like a masterpiece.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's really hard to compare anything to Airplane.
But we have to, because it's the same people.
I mean, yeah, it's true, but, I mean, like, even in general, it's hard to compare even other spoof movies, whether they're done by the Zuckers or not, to Airplane, because the Airplane is so good, and it's so ingrained in our psyche.
Right. I mean, well, I was thinking about, you know, just random. But one part when he's sort of trying to, like, revive the old guy, like Ernest Borgnine, choking on the hot dog, and he looks away, and as he's pushing down on his chest, the hot dog comes out of his, like,
Yeah.
The entire hot dog comes in and out of his mouth as he's, you know, pushing mm-hmm. in and out. I like little gags like that, you know.
Yeah.
Certain separate elements about certain, you know, about certain gags. I like visually it was well, some were well executed. Others not so much, you know. I can agree that the whole, you know, the whole Will reading part with him and the intimacy between the two, and then I'm too sexy, whatever.
Yeah.
That was, you know, it was funny, but not too funny. But certain other ones were like way better. And
yeah. The only
well executed.
The only gag that really I thought was really clever was he's driving in the car and the song on the radio convinces yeah. him to turn around, and then it gets really oddly specific, like there's something on your face, you know, yeah. be sure to check
there's
your mirrors.
Something on your face.
Yeah, yeah, like I thought that was pretty clever.
Right. That was yeah.
That
was him.
That felt like Zucker. You know, that felt like a Zucker joke.
Yeah.
That to me, I felt was more a South Park joke.
Really?
To be honest, yeah.
I actually could see it going both ways. I could definitely see that as Zucker. Like the concept itself is Zucker, but I see the execution.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's in South Park they sing a lot of their own songs. Like, you know, when a song, you know, comes up in the show, it's usually Trey Parker's voice, and that was him
okay.
driving.
Yeah.
Who was driving? That was his voice as well.
Right.
So that felt very South Park-y yeah. to me. When you know, because in South Park it's only their voices.
Right.
And you know when a character's singing, it's usually either one or the other. You know, one of the other two guys. And so yeah. Yeah, very South Park-y. So there's little South Park moments in it, you know, that I too also enjoy
mm-hmm.
comedy wise and their style. But yeah,
cool.
Alrighty then.
I feel like
so that was basketball.
That was basketball.
That was.
So then we move on to Pedro's pick.
Yep.
Which
top secret.
Top secret.
Top secrets.
Well, that was my movie. 1984, right?
Yeah, 1984.
And it stars Val Kilmer and a bunch of other people I don't know.
I actually find it interesting that this was made after Airplane, because to me, this movie felt like it felt like it was the Zuckers trying to find their...
You can tell with the budget, like there was a lot of stuff that you can tell that they spent a lot of money on this movie.
I got the feeling that they were going for the look of a 60s movie, because it was supposed to be happening during the Cold War.
Yeah,
I got and you know, Val Kilmer is this Elvis type character, and I got the feeling that they were going for like a 60s look, you know, maybe the type of film they used, or you know, the with the clothing and everything. And yeah. I feel like because it looks older and feels older, it maybe looks a little bit more rudimentary than Airplane, even though it came later. Yeah,
just the quality of the camera, of how it looks.
It's right.
That's not what as I good as how Airplane looks.
Right.
But also felt like the jokes were not as pushed as they could have been.
Some were a little too silly, I feel. Not
too silly, smart. But like it also felt kind of safe in a way.
I had an interesting experience watching this movie, because it kept going back and forth between losing my interest and then something really silly would happen and I'd laugh and I'd be back in. And then 2 minutes later, I'd be completely bored again. And then something silly would happen and I'd be back. And that happened for the entire run of the movie.
The pace of the movie is not... You know, it's not like how it was in Airplane.
No,
there was
Airplane is rapid fire.
You got into it with Airplane. Not necessarily with this one. The pace was a little slow.
Yeah.
It was a bit slow.
So, yeah. Why did you end up going with Top Secret?
It just sort of randomly came up. And I think once I mentioned it, you guys mentioned you never saw it. So I figured why not. And I I think I first saw it, I think when I had HBO, and it felt very Airplane, and then I found out it was from the Airplane people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, it's, and I liked it. I liked, you know, I liked its silliness. I liked the serious part mixed with the silly. Like,
yeah.
I've always loved that. I've always loved their style of doing that. The Zucker Brothers with Jim Abrahams, I think, is the co-director as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that style, that Naked Gun style. I really dug it. I love that, you know, everyone was dealing with a serious issue happening, but all these silly things were going on at the same time.
Yeah, I really love the deadpan spoof comedy.
Right. Like, everybody has that this serious look in their face, and they're just doing these really silly, weird things.
Yeah, and there were a couple of things in this movie that made me really laugh out loud, like laugh hard.
Yeah.
I never got him to laugh hard.
What happened?
You didn't feel that.
No, I laughed a couple of times, but they're more like smirks, laughs.
Oh no, yeah, I
never really had like a good
like laugh. A ha ha ha,
like a belly laugh.
Yeah.
I laughed when the horse started singing.
Yeah. The lip. He's got a little cold. He's just a little horse.
I laughed at the German women all being men.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny. The whole cow sequence was hysterical to me.
That was a lot of jokes. I wrote down when I was taking notes. This was the only movie where I wrote down the most jokes.
Which jokes? Just remind me, because there's many gags in this movie. Which ones?
Okay, well, skeet surfing in the beginning.
See, that one didn't really land for me.
I like the song. I like the song.
See, for me, it felt a little too random. Like, they just pulled random subjects.
Yeah, that was a
like,
bit.
Okay,
random.
Let's go with a song about surfing and.
It was random for random's sake.
I was confused because they went from German soldiers talking about a plot to people on skateboards shooting things.
Well, in the beginning, specifically, the Nazis are talking about how to derail, like an attack that they're gonna do, and what they're doing, what the Nazis are doing is they're putting on a show so that they could distract people from the big sort of international show that they're going to do in Germany, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired him to be like, you know, to represent America in the show. And what they do is, you know, they put on the record of the songs, and that sort of like, you know, transitions into the whole skeet surfing thing.
Right.
So there is a connection. I mean, it's not like a random, like it starts with Nazis and then boom.
Yeah.
So, just to be clear. So there is a connection. But
afterwards, I understood. But in the beginning, I was just like, okay, what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, that immediately tells you that the movie's going to be a comedy, so.
Well, like, yeah. No, this movie, I think, did a much better job than Basketballs of being a true spoof. With gags and tongue-in-cheek humor and oh, and by the way, Steven, you said that IMDb rated Basketballs higher than Top Secret. Not true.
Well, I mean, like not rating as in the ratings. I mean, like ratings as in like their place on a list.
Well, this one's kind of
Top Secret definitely has a better has a better rating.
This one is more cult movie status type.
Probably
Top Secret. And Basketball is more like Hollywood. Everybody kind of knew about it and still knows about it kind of thing.
Yeah.
This one
probably fell through the cracks for a lot of people because, like you said, it is a lower budget. It does have that look and feel of not as big of a movie. You know?
Quality-wise, yeah. Just how it looks, yeah.
Yeah.
But
like if it wasn't for the fact that it was a spoof, it felt like it was like a made for TV almost.
Maybe. Quality. I think a lot of that has to do with again they purposefully made it look like it was from the 60s.
It could be.
You know what
probably,
I mean?
Probably, probably, yeah. It does have a like a 60s sort of Elvis-y type,
yeah.
Beach Boys type, whatever vibe, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to fit with the main character who's like a... who is, you know, he's like the Elvis type, and he's the protagonist, he's the hero.
Yeah.
And yeah, they hire him. Just a little synopsis, I guess, for people out there to get what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, he was hired by the Nazis for a show in Germany. You know, meets a girl. The girl is like being attacked by secret, just shady looking people.
Mm-hmm.
And he saves her, but she's part of this revolution that's going on in Germany. And well, I mean, you know, and you know, he tries to like fight the Nazis, and you know, he's now with the revolution, with the resistance, whatever.
Well, there was a couple of different specific movie spoofs that they put in there.
Was it spoofing something specific?
Yes.
Oh well, they did spoof. Yes.
Blue Lagoon. Yeah, they spoofed Blue Lagoon, and then
right.
That guy with the curly hair from Blue Lagoon.
Yeah.
Harpo.
Well,
it's like Harpo.
The girl. What's the girl's name?
Look it up.
Hillary. Yeah, Hillary.
Oh, Hillary. Okay,
she and the Harpo guy end up being a spoof of Casablanca. And there's actually a couple of lines taken right out of Casablanca, I noticed. Yeah, where he's fighting against the enemy, and she thought he was dead, so she gets with Val Kilmer, and then he shows up, and she has to go back with him. That's all right out of Casablanca. And there's a line, I think they're like falling for like 10 minutes from these parachutes, but there's a line where she says, "I don't know what's right anymore," or something like that, and that's right out of Casablanca. So they did that spoof. So they were doing like all these World War II things.
I did laugh at the fireplace being parachuted down.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yes, that was funny.
Also another part where they're like making out inside a room. And then the camera pans over to a fireplace, but then they roll like the two people kissing, the protagonist and the chick, they roll over blocking the fireplace.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans over again to another fireplace. Like, screw you! There's another one right here. Forget you guys.
Like, get out of my shot.
Yes.
Okay. Fine. Well, I'm gonna go to this other one.
See, that's the kind of smart humor I love.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of stuff I can get behind.
I have to mention, there's some pretty memorable gags. I feel.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There was one that really made me laugh. They were in the pizza restaurant. And they're talking, and behind them, there's like a group of like 10 or 15 people getting tangled up in pizza cheese and trying to. That cracked me up. That was perfect.
That was
they're not acknowledging it at all. It's just all happening in the background.
I gotta mention these. First, there's the where we see there. It's like a map, like a little animation of the map. You know, like the little lines. And then all of a sudden it turns into the Pac-Man game.
Yes. And I saw that one coming. But
it was kind of obvious,
but
right?
But it still made me laugh, yeah.
Yeah. There's the Boner Ballet.
yes!
With bulgy men.
I forgot all about that.
And I always forget this. If the women who are dancing with the men, like, they're standing on their boners.
Oh, yeah. There's like little ledges standing on them.
Yeah,
they're not understanding. They're like jumping on and off.
Yeah. Like it's obvious boner.
Like a trampoline thing.
Yeah.
They're like little step stools.
Right. And
all to the beat of the Nutcracker.
Yes.
Okay, let me see. The manager of the singer guy, He's about to take the guy out of jail. You know, he's like, I went to the embassy, I went to the UN, and nothing. I can't bring my wife to orgasm. Yeah. And it's like, what? And then all of a sudden, the singer guy's like, well, have you given one of these? Have you tried this out? And it's a box, and it's a
It's a huge box.
And on it says the anal intruder, and you see like a happy couple on it, like a normal happy couple.
Yeah.
It's basically like a little mini jackhammer.
It's like a jackhammer, and it's got like a fist. Attaches, it's got these weird attaches, like yeah. Like a fist. and then he's like.
Thing.
He's like, thank you, I'll try that.
I just love that you're thinking like, oh, he's talking about him. He's never gonna take him out of jail.
Right.
No, he's trying to bring his wife to orgasm. He just can't do it.
It's those visual and literary puns that they do in these spoof movies that are really good.
Yeah.
It's almost like those. It's almost like the way Chuck Avery or Tex Avery or not yeah. Chuck, yeah, Chuck Jones
yeah.
cartoons, you know, they always play with expectations and they reverse yes. the expectations.
Exactly.
Right. Great. I love those kinds of
things. And
jokes.
I don't think the Zuckers would be the same if we hadn't had cartoons like Chuck Jones and Tex Avery.
I don't think any of us
yeah.
would have been the same.
And I think a lot of that even goes back to the Marx Brothers in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, those cartoons took a lot from those guys.
Right.
Speaking of Harpo.
I did think the Blue Lagoon spoof came out of nowhere. I mean, it worked. It was funny, but the Blue Lagoon spoof came out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, I think that movie
Elvis
came out
in World War II, probably.
Yeah, but that movie came out. Yeah.
And you see that trend continued in the scary movies where they just kind of. They move away from just scary movies and they kind of start spoofing movies that were just
that
coming
came
out at the same time as that movie.
Same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Another.
Can I just ask, how much makeup does Val Kilmer have to be in?
He's kind of. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of white on his face.
He has like a layer of epidermis that is just pure makeup.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's supposed to be Elvis, you know? I mean, how old was he in 84?
He's supposed to be like, yeah, he's supposed to be this perfect, you know, looking, handsome-y type.
Let me see. Yeah. I'm trying to see how old Val Kilmer was in 84.
Definitely, like, maybe mid to early 20s, something like that.
Let's see, 1959.
It was more 1959?
Yeah. Wow.
I thought he was younger.
He was like 25, 24.
Yeah, I would say he's about 25, 24 in that movie. So, I mean, he's supposed to probably look a little bit younger than that even. So that explains the makeup.
Yeah.
But that's, oh my goodness. It was just very distracting, especially on the close-ups.
Oh, I didn't. I honestly didn't notice it. I wasn't paying attention.
It was like just like caked on there.
Yeah. The other scene that made me laugh was when he was singing to all the screaming girls. And he brings the one up, and he's just like, all he has to do is like sing at her face, and she just passes out. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, she just
falls over.
She passes out. She's just dunk.
Yeah. She's just down.
She's like smiling, and then dunk.
Yeah.
Another one that made me really laugh was, and this happens to me in real life, is when he's being tortured in jail, and then he like passes out, and then he's having a back to school kind of dream, or like he misses an exam or whatever,
and then he wakes up and he's being tortured, and he's like, thank God,
he's like, oh thank God, it was all a dream. And the thing is, I've had those dreams.
Really.
Or I just like, yeah, where like I'm back in school and I missed an exam or I missed a semester or whatever. And that's hilarious that they would make that into a joke for a movie. Like, because it feels so personal for me.
Right.
To see it in a movie. And it's like, I related to it so much.
Yeah, that was funny.
Bicycles or horses.
Val Kilmer's got some moves, though. He's got some. He's got some moves.
And I think he sung those songs.
Yeah, I think that was him singing.
Because I couldn't tell.
There were times where I thought
I saw in the credits that it said that it was performed by Val Kilmer, so I'm assuming that he did sing it, but I'm not sure.
Maybe it's the way it was like added onto afterwards that it just didn't sound like him at the end.
Yeah.
But like maybe they messed with it in ADR.
Probably messed with it, maybe, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, but in the credits they had a couple of gag credits.
Yeah, like insert something here or
yeah.
insert.
But they had one that made me chuckle. Usually, you know, there's a position in a movie crew called best boy, and they had worst boy was Adolf Hitler.
That's hilarious. Yeah, they did that for the Naked Gun movies.
Oh yeah, they're full of them.
There was it's not in this movie, but in one of the Naked Guns, they put in a recipe on how to like make a cake.
Yeah.
In the credits.
Yeah.
And just love stuff like that. Like they really mess with it, you know, like just to like. Like this shit's boring. Let's just put some funny shit in here as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, Monty Python did that long before the Zuckers.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. In Monty Python and the Holy Grail, their entire opening credit sequence just kind of devolves into chaos.
Yeah. No, but not the whole scrolling up.
Not the end credits. No, but yeah, I mean back then all the credits were in the beginning. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I think they were the first to do something like that with credits, right? I've never, like, with the end credits where it scrolls up, you expect to just see crew people and the cast and everything.
Well, yeah, it could be. But that's what I was saying. With the Monty Python, that was, you know, when that, no, that was before they had end credits. So, I mean, it's still them messing with the credits, even though they were in the beginning of the movie.
I suppose, yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay, there's bicycles or horses is when, you know, when they find a bunch of bicycles and what they do is they ward off these bicycles.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You know.
That was pretty clever.
Yeah, that was pretty great. The pigeon people, like when they're in the park, there's a big statue.
Yes, that was weird.
Yeah, that was super weird. And you see a bunch of people flying on top of the big pigeon statue.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they just you hear them tinkling. They're peeing on the statue. And then as they leave, the big statue takes a poop.
Does it? I missed that.
It takes a big poop. cheesy pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, that one scene when in the Blue Lagoon scene where they're having sex on the beach. There's a bunch of hands.
Yeah,
and parts all over. Singing horse, of course. Yeah,
that one. I did not expect that, and it just I was dying laughing at that.
It's funny because the way how that scene starts out, you're thinking it's the guy.
Right. Again, expectation, reality.
Right. Yeah, that was great, and that it's a little horse.
Yeah, he's a little horse.
He's sick. He's like, ah, he'll be fine. He's just a little horse. And, well, that's hilarious.
That felt like a Mel Brooks line to me.
That did feel Mel Brooksy, didn't it?
Well, yeah. You know why I think it is because like in Men in Tights, he plays like a character like that where he's coming up on a horse on a cart. And he has, you know, he has like one little bit of a line.
Yeah.
In that whole movie, yeah. Just goes away.
Yeah.
So it does feel very, very Mel Brooks.
Funny, yeah. It's, you know, the songs were kind of funny. There was one song that made sense that wasn't too random was when he was talking about like when he was singing about, like. It was a song for Sears or something.
Oh, yeah, because he grew up in Macy's.
He grew up in Macy's. So they gave him, you know, the opportunity to make a song for Macy's, like an ad. And it came out all sexy. And
that was funny.
Yeah, that was
he's
great.
He's about to tell this really poignant story, and it was about how he lost his mom in Macy's, and then they raised him in Macy's.
Right. and he's like, shop at Macy's. And, the cow part, You know, when they dress up as a cow.
Yeah, that cracked me up.
Yeah, and the part where the little baby cow starts sucking on the tea.
Yeah.
And sucking on his, you know what?
Yeah.
He's like, what's the hurry? You know. Ceramic guy falls and breaks. The guy, they push him from the tower.
Oh, I loved the French guy's names.
Oh, Deja Vu.
Deja Vu, Latrine. Yeah.
He's like the only silly dude.
Yeah, Latrine.
Yeah. Yeah, there was Escargot.
Escargot, and there was
Chocolate Mousse.
Croissant.
Croissant. They're all French food names.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of French food names. I wrote joke after joke after joke. Yeah. It's never boring.
Well, that's the thing. There were some parts where it just completely screeched to a halt. And then,
right, it's just the pace. There was joke after joke after joke, but it was just the pace. It just
the pacing needed a little bit of cutting, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, overall, a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the I'm Hungry, MST3K. Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember.
I missed that line in the movie. Like, where was it? I was looking for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, the characters, they like characters in the movie as they're, you know, that they, Mike isn't saying anything and the other guys aren't saying.
No. I remember in MST3K. I'm talking about in Top Secret. I don't remember.
Minimal. It's Deja Vu. He says it. He goes, and I'm hungry.
I'm not remembering the part in Mystery Science Theater where they say that.
I'm going to have to, I'll find it.
Saying it, can't remember exactly where.
Okay.
But it's there.
It's probably one of those riffs that I don't hear because I don't get the reference, but now maybe I will.
Yeah, I've seen this, I've seen MST.
There's a point where Mike goes, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He goes, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I can't really remember where.
And then I heard Deja Vu saying it randomly out of nowhere. Like, the other guys are, like, talking about something serious. And he goes, I'm hungry. he's like, I'm complaining. And, underwater saloon fight.
We could name jokes all day, but
I know there's so glowy boobs. Yeah, there's so many. But yeah, this movie, it was fun. You know, pacing wise, had issues. Yeah.
The fact that it came 4 years after Airplane.
Yeah, why 4 years?
It says a lot. Were there any in between? I don't. Let me.
Hold on. Let me check.
I'm looking now. Because.
Nope. No in between.
Weird. I guess maybe they
Police Squad was in between. That's
David. But no, but Zucker didn't do Police Squad.
He was writing on it though.
No.
I'm looking at David Zucker's IMDb right now, and it says he wrote on Airplane and Police Squad, and then Top Secret.
Okay.
He created Police Squad in any case. I mean, they were working on Police Squad that was 1982, and then The Naked Gun came 4 years after Top Secret.
You know what? I always thought Police Squad came before Airplane because, I assume that's why they put in Leslie Nielsen and Airplane because
I
thought they did Police Squad before Airplane.
Well, this might be a good time to start talking about Airplane then because. Airplane was the first movie in which Leslie Nielsen, blanking on his name, Robert Hayes, and Lloyd Bridges. This was the first movie where they played comedy roles. Before this, all of their careers had been super serious dramas.
Yeah, because he did seem serious.
Because Leslie Nielsen is like practically made for this type of comedy.
Well, from here on, it changed his complete career.
I hear, and this is, I've heard that.
But I know that, but I'm saying like he began it so well.
Oh yeah, almost, he's.
But I've heard that he's always been a comical guy though.
Oh yeah.
Like, even like in his serious movies, like he'd always like pull on pranks on, you know, like on other cast members and crew.
Oh
people.
Yeah.
Like,
but I mean,
like, yeah.
The reason Airplane worked so well was because no one was expecting those guys to be funny, and they ended up, and Peter Graves especially, no one expected them to be funny, and when they were, it just threw everything on its head.
I gotta say, the way, because Leslie Nielsen, he's a lot more funnier in the Naked Gun movie, like the way he acts.
Well,
he's a lot more chipper. More, you know, more happier looking.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he's super serious.
He's the straight man in this movie. You have to be.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everyone in this movie is a straight man, except for the one gayish guy.
Yeah, but it makes me wonder, like, why didn't stick with that with the Naked Gun movies? But I'm saying it worked in the Naked Gun movies.
Because the Naked Gun movies were based on Police Squad, and in Police Squad, he kind of started to morph from that super serious character to the silliness.
You're saying like he evolved into
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah, but it just seemed so such a big change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like but I mean squad. This. I mean that's the thing. Airplane changed his whole career. It changed. You know, he went from. I don't know if he ever did a serious movie again after Airplane.
Oh God, I don't think so.
I'm looking now.
He did Creepshow. It's a horror movie.
Oh my God, Creepshow! I forgot about that.
Yeah, he was the. Oh,
he was really creepy in that movie.
He was pretty. Yeah, he was really. He was
so
a scary guy.
Was he the creep?
He was not.
Creepshow is
no,
like
no. Creepshow is a yeah an anthology movie. It's different.
Creepshow stuff. Is like it's like an early.
Yeah, Tales from the Crypt. An early.
Yeah, Tales from the Crypt.
Okay, so I stand corrected. He was in a ton of TV series and TV movies after Airplane. Whether or not he was serious or not, it looks like there's a good mix of both. But okay. In any case, I mean,
but
without Airplane. You know, he wouldn't have had...
Well, yeah, nowadays, you think of Leslie Nielsen, you think of Airplane, you think of The Naked Gun, you think of his comedy.
Oh, absolutely. I do, anyway. But then again, that's our generation. We grew up watching the stuff that came later.
I seriously thought Police Squad came before.
Oh, my God, I forgot he was Mr. Magoo.
Oh, yeah.
Ew. Yeah. No.
See, I know people, especially in our parents' generation, who would say, he is not Mr. Magoo. That was a remake. The real Mr. Magoo was so much better.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Include me with those people. Because,
yeah.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't think the problem with Mr. Magoo was so much him as it was the writing or the direction. Like, I think he has the potential to be a good Mr. Magoo.
I think the problem was that Mr. Magoo is not a good choice for live action.
It isn't, you know, it really isn't. I didn't, you know.
I don't know. It feels like it could be done right.
It could be done right with the right actors. I just don't think Leslie Nielsen was particularly a good.
I mean, it was 90s.
No, I disagree. I think Leslie Nielsen could be a great Magoo. He just wasn't given the right material to.
Probably.
It was Mr. Magoo was 1997, so that's 17 years after Airplane. So he was.
And Mr. Magoo is like this short, bald.
Yeah.
Super bald, by the way.
He was still doing funny movies at that point. He was doing Wrongfully Accused came the year after, and I love Spy Hard. Yeah, I love Wrongfully Accused.
I don't know if you guys have seen Spy Hard.
I don't
it's on
think
Netflix.
I've Spy seen Hard, Spy yeah. Hard. No.
See it, Jill. I think you'll like it. It's very, very Naked Gunny, but it still has its own thing with, of course, Leslie Nielsen doing his thing.
It's like Naked Gun, but instead of cop movies, it's a spy movie.
It's okay. Like spy. Yeah.
It's Naked Gun, James Bond.
I'm looking for it on the list. I don't. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's there.
But yeah, I mean, where do we start with?
Yeah, with Airplane.
The genius that is Airplane. I mean,
what's amazing is the opening. It starts off with that music that is like quintessential Airplane. Like Every time I hear drama. It, it's always Airplane. Oh. Yeah. No.
Oh, you mean like it's when you think of that music, it's Airplane. Like that's Airplane.
So not the Jaws theme, you know, at the very beginning.
Oh, no, not that part, yeah. But I'm talking about in the airport.
Oh, yeah.
At the airport, that quintessential Airplane is like, it makes me so happy when I hear it.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
I love how it starts, too. Like, it starts, it starts with the Jaws thing, of course, which is hilarious.
Well, right off the bat, that tells you, okay, that's what this is going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's a comedy.
Yeah.
But then it immediately switches that to, like, a serious opening.
Yeah,
like,
very serious.
Like, this could be a serious movie.
And then the gags slowly start coming up. Like I think the first one was the intercom voices fighting with each other.
Yes.
Don't start with that white zone shit.
He's like, I know what this is about. You want me to get that abortion, don't you?
It's the only sensible thing to do.
Exactly. It's like, oh my god, that's so personal.
No one in the airport is reacting to it.
Yeah, nobody's reacting to it.
Everyone, it's so clear, loud, and everyone can hear, but no one reacts to it.
The thing I love about this movie is that the gags are so rapid fire. There's one starting in the background before the one you're watching is even over.
Yeah.
It's so tight. It's so tightly edited and so well written. So meticulously written.
Well transitioned between joke after joke.
Yeah. It's perfectly timed. And that's why I love how deadpan it is. Because if any one character were to look at the camera or do a kind of, like, nod to the camera.
Well, they do look at the camera. There is one moment where he looks at the camera going, that's a pisser.
Hey,
there is that one, but it works. If Peter Graves or Leslie Nielsen or at any point were to look at the camera and be like, huh, do you believe this? It would ruin everything.
Yeah,
the only reason it's funny is because they stick to it 100%. And it's... And that worked so much better with people only knowing them as serious roles in the past.
Yeah. The thing is, what you mentioned, like how it must have been to have seen that movie at that time.
Yeah. It must have blown everybody away.
They've knowing that they've only done serious roles. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... I was doing a little bit of research on it because I didn't
grow up like that. I thought that Police Squad, like I said, you know, came before.
Right.
And then,
I had watched this plenty of times with my parents, and they always mentioned that to me, that he had only been doing serious stuff before that, and that made it funnier. But I was doing a little bit of research, and it turns out that either Peter Graves or Lloyd Bridges, I can't remember which one, their agent said, you know, they want you to do this movie, and I think it was Lloyd Bridges, and he said, you know, it's crass, it's stupid, I don't want to do it, and then he ended up doing it, and like, everyone loved it, and he was like, all right, good call, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know, the thing is, Lloyd Bridges... I didn't know the other guys too well when I first saw
Peter Graves.
Talking about Peter Graves and the other guy from Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
Robert Stack.
Robert Stack. There we go. But Lloyd Bridges. I've always known.
Who's also in Basketball.
Yeah, he is. He does.
He does the Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries.
which I love that bit in Basketball. It's like, we still have no clue.
We have no clue, and he's still like, we know where he is.
Like he just said where he is, but we have no clue.
He just made him into a silly old guy. God, what the hell was I saying? Lloyd Bridges, you know, he did Hot Shots, but still, I knew that he did serious stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he just has one of those faces where...
Yeah, he does. You know, he's a serious actor. He's always been a serious actor.
Yeah.
And to see him, you know, upside down, sniffing on glue.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, what?
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking.
Yeah, he picked the wrong week just to quit a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it was drinking, sniffing glue, smoking.
I'm just, every time I see the scene with the little boy in the cockpit, I think of how it must have been for people in 1980 to see Peter Graves say, "Do you like movies with gladiators?"
Ever seen a grown man naked?
God, I know, and you know the stewardess. She's like, "Okay, Joey, time to go back." He's like, "No, you can stay.
He's not bothering anybody."
You can tell. You can sort of feel like the audience cringing of him going like, "No, you can stay." Yeah. It's like, "Oh God, no, creepy."
And then the kid's bothering Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh God, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because it's obviously Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, it's obviously him.
Obviously.
And you know the kid's pestering him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar."
Say what? About?
"I'm Roger," whatever. And then he comes out and he admits that he really is him. And he's like,
"My dad said you half-assed him." Corey's like, "The hell I do."
Yeah, exactly.
He gets pissed off at what the little boy's saying about, you know, the dad. And I guess we realize he's leading a dual life, which makes it funnier. Like he's a basketball, you know, one day and a co-pilot.
I love the name gag that they give.
All right, what's your clearance, Clarence?
And they're like, "What?
Roger, huh? Roger.
over. And they're like, "Huh? What?
Roger.
What's your vector, Victor?
We have clearance, Clarence.
Clearance, Clarence.
Huh?
What?
This man has to be gotten to a hospital. A hospital? Oh, what is it? God. It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, you know, and... you know, so, you know, and this movie is such a huge part of pop culture, and it's influenced so much of today's comedy.
Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It really revolutionized a lot for comedy.
It really
did. You know, just the way it was executed, these jokes with deadpan people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I mean, it affected, you know, pop culture heavily. I feel, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
kid couple. Sorry, I'm reading jokes. There was the kid couple.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then she goes. She's like,
"I take my coffee black, like my men." Yeah,
like my men. And the kid's like, "Huh?" And then, you know, and us as an audience, we're like, "What the? Did she just say that?"
Can you say that in that movie?
Yeah.
I love the running gag of Kramer, the main character guy who's the ex soldier pilot, telling his story to random people on the plane, and they kill themselves because they're so bored.
No, you mean Ted Stryker.
Stryker. Oh, not Kramer. Stryker, yeah.
Kramer, I believe, was Robert Stryker.
Yeah, that was the other guy. But yeah, he keeps telling his story to people on the plane, and they keep killing themselves in different ways because they're so bored.
Yeah, and it's like a Japanese guy, like putting a throat through his stomach, putting a sword through his stomach.
He puts a throat through his
stomach. I know,
Sabuku, the old woman hangs herself. The guy in the turban's about to, like, set himself on fire. There's just so many good gags in this movie.
Oh, the autopilot.
Yeah, the autopilot.
Yeah, the autopilot.
The one that cracks me up is the girl who's in the hospital bed with the wires. The woman, she's singing and playing the guitar, and she keeps knocking the wires out.
Yeah, the old woman, she's looking at the guy like "I've never, you drinking alcohol?" And then she, like, takes out, like, a little box of cocaine and slips it. love it.
Whiskey? Certainly not.
And then... ding, ding, ding. Yeah, there's lots of dirty jokes.
Yeah. Put ham on, hold the mayo.
Now,
The drinking problem.
Yes, the drinking problem.
It's literally like a problem where you can't put the thing in his mouth.
Can't remember how to drink.
Now, you know what I was thinking? You know, after I watched this, I was thinking about some of the past movies we've talked about. Soul Plane.
Ew! Really? Billy Jill?
How?
You had to go there.
No, I'm thinking, how much of an influence did this have on Soul Plane? Were they...
It's basically a remake of Soul Plane. It's basically like an urban...
The other way around, you mean?
He was talking about Airplane being an influence
for... Oh, yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Soul Plane is basically a remake of Airplane.
Right.
Like an urban
urban 90s. What was it, 90s or 2000?
That was in the thousands.
Probably late... Yeah, probably 2000, I think.
Yeah, because Kevin Hart was in it. Yeah.
It was gay, yeah.
It was awful.
I mean, yes, it's a horrible movie. But to me it is, you know. Maybe other people love that movie. I don't know. But it's one of those movies that's, you know, pretty widely disliked. But I started seeing, like, yeah, this is what they were going for. You know, they were trying to do Airplane.
Do you remember particular jokes, maybe, that sort of seem similar?
The one that stuck out to me was, like, they're giving everyone, like, Mad Dog 2020. And,
The liquor?
Yeah, instead of, like, water and soda, they're giving everyone, like, hard liquor and, like... Little gags like that, like it's not subtle by any means in Soul Plane. Like the gags, Airplane didn't always have subtle stuff either.
Yeah, because Airplane is more cartoony. This one's more, you know, I wouldn't say it's really parody. It's more comedy, just comedy, pure comedy. I don't know how I would categorize. Soul Plane, because I don't see it in the same vein as Airplane. I see it just being pure comedy. I don't really see the similarities, is what I'm saying. I mean, I get where you're going, but yeah. I just, because, you know, Airplane is more a parody and more cartoony.
I think Soul Plane is not a straight spoof or parody, but it has those gag elements in it.
I see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't taken to the nth degree the way it was in Airplane, but it's definitely there. The influence is definitely there.
Like Airplane, certain Airplane-y airport type jokes.
So I guess what I'm saying is Airplane gave us an entire wonderful genre of spoof movies, but it also gave birth to Soul Plane.
Very unfortunately, but nothing comes to mind, but I have seen certain jokes done that are from Airplane and that people have adopted, you know, like
in their own
thing.
Absolutely. It was almost a new film language. Of how to tell a joke.
It was very meta.
And it makes me happy that where they went, the Zucker brothers and Jim Abrahams and all these people. I'm really happy where they went after Airplane. Like became famous for the Naked Gun movies, which are also great, by the way. Not as good, you know. Of course, Airplane is meta awesomeness.
Yeah, the Naked Gun movies are great. They did a bunch of really great spoofs in the 90s, and then they started to go downhill in the 2000s with the Scary Movies.
Yeah, Scary Movies. Scary Movie 3 had its moments. The one with Leslie Nielsen as the president.
It had, like we talked about, it had moments, but overall, I don't think it was as strong.
No, it's not, of course, it's not as strong as, obviously not as strong, but, so they had something, you know, but still, yeah. No, but you know, yeah, I mean, you know, definitely not as strong as how they started.
Yeah.
They were a lot funnier.
And the Zuckers, doesn't look like they've done anything since Scary Movie 5.
It seemed like they had more freedom with the early ones.
Well,
maybe studio heads were like, make it this kind of funny, and I guess maybe...
Well, when they made Kentucky Fried Movie, which is the movie they made before Airplane, which was a compilation of skits, really, they weren't the directors, they were just the writers, and they weren't happy with how it came out because they didn't have complete control. And that's why when they made Airplane, they made sure they had complete control. And that's just one more, proof positive that if you have creators that really know what they want, let them do it, right. Stop butting in. Right. But who knows what went on with the Scary movies? You know what I mean? Who knows what they were told to do?
It does seem like, make it for this particular audience because statistics say that Scary Movie 1 was funny because of these type of gags or whatever.
Right.
Make sure you add that, in those whatever. Because that's how it is now. Everything's all about statistics and was definitely different.
Demographics.
Yeah, different demographics. Like, I don't think anybody cared about that stuff back in those times when Airplane came out.
It certainly wasn't as prevalent. It was thought about, but it wasn't the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can tell that they just wanted to make that type of movie. Like, that was them wanting to do this.
Yeah.
You can really tell with Airplane. And you can also see it in Top Secret. Like, this is the type... They just wanted to do this kind of movie because they wanted to.
Yeah, I think...
You don't get that with the Scary Movie.
Yeah, I think of all of the Zucker's movies, with the exception of Naked Gun, I think Top Secret is the closest to that original feeling that you got with Airplane.
Right. It does... It's very similar in the style of comedy, in the style altogether, yeah.
Yeah, and now I want to watch the Naked Gun movies again because I haven't seen them in years.
Yeah. I was thinking for another podcast, we should probably do like a Mel Brooks one.
Yes, I was actually just going to say that because...
Unintentionally, we did pick Zucker Brothers, but let's just say this is the Zucker Brothers parody movie one.
But yeah, we could go for hours over Mel Brooks. I adore Mel Brooks and his movies. He's another one that just created a genre.
Oh God, yeah. Mel Brooks did create something before Airplane with his type of comedy.
Oh yeah, they were kind of separate.
They're very separate. Yeah. I'm thinking Young Frankenstein.
They have very different tones.
Yeah, they did.
Their filmographies in general had very different tones, whereas Zucker's were very gag oriented and short joke oriented. Mel Brooks was more about the long joke.
And
there were visual gags, there were little things, but more than not. You were in it for the long joke rather than
a wittiness to the more witty, I feel, to Mel Brooks movies because it was more gag.
It's funny you say that because Rob Paulsen, the voice actor who did Pinky from Pinky and the Brain, he always tells a story about when he was really young, he got to sit in on a writing meeting with Mel Brooks.
I thought you were going to say he got to sit on Mel Brooks' lap.
not quite that young. But as a young voice actor.
He could have.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But they were in a meeting, and I forget what the suggestion he made was, but Rob Paulsen made some kind of suggestion that was like a play on words. And Mel Brooks looked at him with contempt and said, "Kid, funny is money, but wit is shit."
Nah. Yeah, because I wouldn't say witty. It's just like, I don't know. There's just a certain style that he has in his comedy. Because what you mentioned is Zucker's are more gag oriented.
Yeah.
And he has gags, but not like the Zuckers. Yeah. There's something different.
The Zuckers are a lot more about setting up an expectation and then completely turning it on its head, or taking something right. that you know as the norm and completely turning it on its
exactly.
head.
Exactly, and it's like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Whereas Mel Brooks, it's, how do I explain it?
There's, you know, it's more...
It's taking something familiar and adding more to it.
It's kind of like they make fun of, but in a way that it pays homage to something that's done before.
Mel Brooks is a lot more.
Because in Young Frankenstein, he makes fun of Frankenstein.
Vaudevillian.
Yeah,
his stuff is a lot more vaudeville. You know, winking to the audience, playing to. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
You know, like that line in. Robin Hood, Men in Tights. A black sheriff, it worked in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like, looking at the camera and...
He references his own movies within his movies.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Unlike other Robins, I can speak with an English accent.
Yeah. I was thinking about in Spaceballs, when he has that collection of VHS movies.
Yes.
And it's all Mel Brooks movies.
Yeah.
That's Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
That's more just his style. Sort of vaudevillian. He has a stand-up comedy type vibe to his stuff.
But also parodying, with a song and dance element to it.
Song and
dance. You
know
what I mean? Like, it feels, like I said, it feels very vaudevillian. And I think that's where he came up in,
It's very showy.
Radio
it's
very shows showy. And
yeah,
you know,
very showy.
Yes, showy. That's a good word
it's
for it.
It's very showy, yeah.
I mean, The Producers is pretty much the epitome of Mel Brooks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so him, yeah.
I mean, I could tell you right now, if I had to pick three Mel Brooks movies to talk about, if we did a Mel Brooks episode, I would want to do The Producers, Young Frankenstein, and Blazing Saddles. Those are, you know, and if we had a fourth, I would do Men in Tights.
You know what? If we ever do Mel Brooks, I'd like to focus on the ones that haven't garnered much attention, like Dracula Dead and Loving It, which I'd like to re-see again.
That's a good one.
Did he do that?
Yeah.
Which has Leslie Nielsen, by the way.
Yeah. I was reading up on that too.
I knew that was Nielsen, but I didn't. Oh man, I can't believe that was.
Well, he's in it. He's in it. Mel Brooks is in it.
Yeah, so. I was reading up on that too, and apparently Mel Brooks had been wanting to do a Dracula movie for over a decade, but he could never find the right Dracula. And then he found Leslie Nielsen, and he said, "It's got to be you. You're perfect."
Right. Well, he chose. It was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, these two big comedy guys, mm-hmm. Leslie Nielsen, it just works.
And
it
Mel
works.
Brooks, yeah.
So I'd like to, if I ever do, that'd probably be my movie,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, we could just watch Mel Brooks movies. We don't even have to talk about them because
I know.
We'd just be gushing the entire time. But my absolute favorite will always be Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, definitely.
That movie is a masterpiece of comedy.
Yeah. I think for me, it's Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles.
I never cared for Spaceballs, to be perfectly honest with you.
I like Spaceballs.
I like it, but it's never been my favorite. I understand why it's a lot of people's favorite, though. I absolutely understand.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's like I said, I don't dislike it. It's just never been my favorite.
Not disrespecting Star Wars, but anything that makes fun of Star Wars, I'm gonna love. And if it's Mel Brooks, and he did it wonderfully, by the way.
Yeah. He did a great job. It's just for some reason I never attached to that one the way I did with Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles.
Just the way you grow up with.
I have a soft spot for Gene Wilder, so I think that has a lot to do with.
Usually, my go-to Mel Brooks is either Spaceballs or Men in Tights.
Men in Tights.
Granted, I haven't seen that many of his movies. I probably haven't seen most of his collection. Like, I haven't seen The Producers. I haven't seen.
I think the producers. Silent Movie is pretty good. Mel Brooks admitted though that he felt like it didn't work because it was a silent movie, but it's still funny and it's.
You know what? He tried something. It didn't work as well as he wanted, but at least he tried.
But it's still a fun movie.
High Anxiety is a very funny movie. That's a spoof of Hitchcock movies.
Hitchcock movies, yeah.
And that's a very funny movie.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm looking at the list now of all his
movies. Yeah, there's, I don't think he did too much. Dracula Been Loving It, Robin Hood Men Tights.
Yeah, those were the later ones. History of the World Part 1, It's a Mad World.
Oh, yeah, I never saw those.
Definitely watch those.
Just watch all Mel Brooks.
Pretty much.
All
watch everything
pretty Mel much. Brooks, yeah. And while the producer's remake is okay, I so prefer the original.
The thing is, I never saw the original first. I saw the remake first. And then when I saw the original, I was like, this son of a bitch stole a lot from Gene Wilder.
Oh, God, and, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking, like, well, that sucks. Well, now, now I prefer the original then, because this was already done by Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, that guy ain't. What's his name?
Zero Mon.
No, the little guy.
Oh, you're talking about Matthew Broderick?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
he is no Gene Wilder.
No, because he was.
And Nathan Lane is no Zero Mon still.
No, he
cannot play a straight role to save his life.
You can tell it's very Broadway.
Yes.
That movie, because it's based off the Broadway musical.
Right. Right.
And the movie isn't really a Broadway. It isn't a musical. It's a movie.
Well, it's a movie about
with musical numbers. Yes,
it's a movie about a musical.
Yeah, but it's not a musical in itself.
No, it's not. And I saw Young Frankenstein on Broadway, and it was funny, but it wasn't as memorable as the movie.
Yeah, I can't, because to me, Young Frankenstein, if I were to ever see any kind of remake of that, like, I don't know, it wouldn't feel right. It wouldn't feel,
The other spoof creators we haven't really talked about much is Monty Python.
Monty Python has...
Yeah, I think it's because I don't really consider their movies to be like the spoofs of, at least in terms that we generally think of spoofs.
Well, they did. I suppose you're right. They kind of place themselves in a time period or a popular story.
It's like they set themselves in these weird situations.
Right.
It feels way more original than simply spoofing.
Right.
Fair enough. Genre. Yeah.
Instead of make up something fun, yeah.
But I would say it's like, it's probably borderline.
Yeah, I mean,
Not, less a spoof and more inspired by movies like them.
Yeah.
It's like King Arthur, for instance. There's a ton of old English movies to do with King Arthur and the knights and, all that. And they inspired the Holy Grail,
and then they made it into their own thing. Yeah,
but I mean,
I see what you mean. Yeah,
I don't know if obviously I'm not them, but I don't know how influenced the Zuckers were by Monty Python. I expect quite a bit because they were.
I feel like they're more inspired by. To me, it looked like they were more inspired by cartoons.
Yeah. Absolutely, but
I can't think of anything else.
Maybe Mel Brooks. Silliness.
I'm gonna have to go. With maybe they got inspired by Mel Brooks as well.
It could be.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, Mel Brooks's movies did come before Airplane.
Yeah, way before.
But not by much.
The producers was 67. Young Frankenstein is early 70s.
Yeah, right? Young Frankenstein is 74. Yeah. Silent Movie was 76, High Anxiety was 77, History of the World was 81. So, they did have early Mel Brooks to kind of work off of.
I think so. Probably. I wouldn't doubt it, yeah.
That's even more of a credit to the Zuckers, that even though Mel Brooks' stuff came out earlier, people still think of Airplane as the quintessential spoof movie.
Yeah, it really is. Well, I mean, it's making fun of a specific. Because the thing is, it makes like what you mentioned to me.
Probably,
like,
yeah, it's probably because it's way more topical because you know it came like right at the end of the whole airplane disaster era.
It's pure. It's spoof. It's
so fresh in people's minds.
It's pure spoof. Like yeah. they're taking something that's already been done and then just adding funny elements into it.
I mean,
whereas Mel Brooks is more. He has his own style put into his own.
Spaceballs is pure spoof.
Yep.
It is, but it's still Mel Brooks. You know what I mean?
Brooks is sort of like a midway. Python and Zucker's in terms of how these...
It's a little hard to explain.
It's spoof, but it's like originals.
I agree with you, except for Spaceballs. Spaceballs is 100% spoof of Star Wars.
It is very, very... But it's very... But it's also very Mel Brooks.
And oh, yeah, Men in Tights is...
He has...
Men in Tights is pretty much King of Thieves.
Spoof. Yes. Men in Tights is very much a spoof.
And the thing is, with Airplane, even though the Zuckers have their own style, and you can totally see the style of Airplane in Naked Gun and later movies, but still, it is pure spoof in the sense that it's spoofing something that's already been done that we've seen before. That's something very serious, and then just adding, you know, funny gags and funny whatever.
Right.
So you know, they have their own style, but still, it's pure spoof. They just it's that type of movie, that disaster type movie.
Right.
It's just they just added a bunch of jokes. You can't say this. You can't say that about Mel Brooks movies. You know, it's a little different. Mel Brooks really adds a lot to himself in his own spoof movies. So
yes,
that's how I see it. That's how I sort of separate the two. Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
So
So in that sense, Airplane is the total spoof movie because it really is in its purest form a spoof of a specific thing, but done, you know, in a way where it's like it's something we've already seen before, but added with jokes.
Yeah. So
therefore, it's a pure spoof. And yeah, you can say that about Spaceballs, and it is true. It is super spoof, but not the way Airplane is spoofed. You know,
super spoof.
Airplane is a genre spoof, whereas Spaceballs is a specific movie spoof. And even though Airplane takes from a specific movie for a lot of its lines, there are lines taken directly out of a specific movie. It's escaping me right now what that movie is, but there's a specific Airplane disaster movie, I believe, from the 50s.
Like Airport. Airline 175, something like that.
Something like that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Where they take direct lines out of in Airplane. So in that way, it is a direct spoof, but it's more of a genre spoof in that it has its own story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But Spaceballs, I mean, there's nothing in that movie that's anything but Star Wars.
Yeah, it's pure Star Wars spoof, but still very, also very Mel Brooks.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying.
Right, exactly. That's the difference between those two directors. You know, like Mel Brooks adds a lot of himself in it. And whereas
but you can say that about every
You can say that about the Zuckers.
Different
styles.
Yeah, but just the way they do it, it's more spoof oriented.
Well, that's
it's more
them.
Pure
but
spoof.
They all spoof in their own voices.
Basically. Yeah, that's their voice.
Yeah, I feel like it's more. There's
you could have a scene with no dialogue, and tell Mel Brooks to shoot it, and tell the Zuckers to shoot it, and you could tell them apart.
Yeah, but you got me thinking about how they've parodied an already made movie word for word, line by line, but it's just a bunch of, you know, and I'm thinking that's pure, you know, that, and they do have their own style. Everybody has their own style, directors. But, you know, I just feel like it's more pure with Airplane, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, Airplane is, like I said, it's one of the tightest written movies I've ever seen. Nothing is wasted. Not
like the thing is, yeah, like Spaceballs is a spoof of Star Wars. It's super spoof, but
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, it completely shown his style. Like his style is completely
it's his version
Spaceballs.
Of Star Wars.
Exactly.
In that way, I suppose Robin Hood Men in Tights is more a genre spoof.
Yeah, it's taken. Well, they do. Well,
it's genre, but it's also mainly like Robin Hood, King of Thieves.
They spoofed the Kevin Costner one.
So many versions of the Robin Hood story, though.
There is, but they mainly borrow from the King of Thieves
one. Yeah, what was the 40s looking Robin Hood that they make fun of in Robin? Yeah, that Errol Flynn, I think his name is.
Yeah.
That's they took a lot from that
one. Lot from Errol Flynn.
Yeah, exactly. So,
can call the Robin Hood story a genre, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that one's
a
little closer to what the Zuckers did.
I would say Robin Hood is like a subgenre.
Well, it's
okay. I see what you mean.
It's a legend. You know, it's a fairy tale.
It's a legend, but I would say it's medieval. Medieval's a genre, and then like specifically Robin Hood is like a subgenre of the.
It's like if you did a spoof of all Superman movies. You know what I mean? It's a specific story just redone a bunch of different ways.
Oh, speaking of which, I think the Zuckers did do a superhero spoof movie with Leslie Nielsen.
Did they?
That Drake kid.
Yeah, it's called superhero movie or something like that. It's one of those recent crap.
Yeah.
It was like date movie or.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
Zucker. Yeah, right.
It was one of those type movie.
Not another epic movie or whatever.
Kind
of movie. Yeah. And that one stars Leslie Nielsen as a type of like an Uncle Ben from Spider-Man.
See, I almost wish they wouldn't do those now because it's just cheapening the entire.
They are really cheapening.
They're pretty bad now.
Which is funny because they started this and now they're cheapening their own.
Well, they're running on fumes because people have moved on to a different style of comedy now.
Right.
Which is sad, but, I mean, inevitable, you know?
Steve Carell, I mentioned this to you guys, but he created a show.
The Office, we know, we've all seen it.
No, it's not The Office. it's called Angie Tribeca.
Okay.
And the way he describes it, he wanted to bring back that type of Naked Gun-esque comedy.
Okay.
I saw it, and I didn't really feel it was very Naked Gun. The jokes were kind of corny. It wasn't really well-written jokes.
Was it funny, at least?
No, it's corny. It's just...
Well, I like corny. Maybe I'll check it out.
No, you're going to... I know you, Joe. Okay. I don't think you're going to like it.
I do enjoy Steve Carell, so we'll see.
He's not in it, though. He created it with his wife.
It's Ann Perkins is in it, isn't it?
Yeah, who does Ann Perkins?
Oh, her.
Rashida Jones. Okay. She's the main title character. And it's not well executed. You can tell they're trying to do the gun thing.
Like,
but...
You know what it felt like to me? Like I haven't seen it. I've only seen like the trailers for it, but it felt like, okay, do you remember in Friends when Joey was on that show Mac and Cheese?
Yes.
It seemed like they made a show about that show.
About Mac and Cheese?
Yeah.
What?
Well, it's like that show is what he's saying.
It's like they took that one specific thing and they tried like, let's actually make this a real.
They make fun of like CSI and Law and Order. It's a cop show.
Okay.
And it's not well done. I didn't really laugh.
That's a shame.
Like, at all.
I did see one person on my Facebook feed recommend it today.
I still want to check it out.
I mean, I saw like 3-4 episodes because they were showing like a marathon of it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not laugh. It was just too corny.
Okay.
It was too corny. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen Children's Hospital.
I know of it.
I haven't seen it.
It makes fun of ER. It's a lot more surreal and abstract.
I never really got into any of those live action Adult Swim shows. They are just not me.
Well, this one's more like in the parody sort of scenario.
I've seen snippets of it, and it just never caught my attention.
Is it like Tim and Eric?
No, it's not like that at all. Okay. It's full on parodying ER, but the kind of humor is dark. It's very dark humor.
Okay.
And a little abstract here and there, but not Tim and Eric, not like that, not at all.
Okay.
But still, there is a fun to me. I find it funny. I think that show is hilarious. Some of the characters I've seen ER, and the characters that represent the ER counterpart characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. There's a woman in ER that she has like crutches.
Mm-hmm.
She's disabled, and they really went all out with Children's Hospital. Like it's that same character, but she's way more messed up, and the way she walks, it's hilarious. It's dark and it's offensive, but it's to me it's hilarious. Just cause I like the actress who does it. She's the one who's in what is it, that gay show with the two people living together.
What?
What?
We're both like.
Sorry. It stars Deborah Messing. It's a sitcom. She's living with a gay roommate.
I thought you said Geisha. Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
I thought you said Geisha, and I'm thinking, what the hell was Deborah Messing a Geisha?
Megan Mullally. She plays the woman in the crutches.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And she's like, she's also in from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
She's great in Children's Hospital. Like it's got a good cast of people in Children's Hospital. Like a good cast of comedians. So I think that's what makes it funny for me. It's a dark show,
mm-hmm.
But it is funny. And I feel like that it pulls off well that genre, the spoof genre,
mm-hmm.
For in that show. So I feel like, it's successful now. I'm talking about today now, like for certain spoofs,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, the majority, not as good as how Airplane did it or Naked Gun.
I think it's because it's like, at least Zucker's new spoof movies, they've devolved from, from actually thinking of a joke about it to just referencing, oh, hey, this is the thing that we saw last week.
Right. Here's the hot movie this year.
Here's the thing you all saw.
It went from, changing your expectation to
that never was funny.
It's just not written smart anymore.
Well, it's the same. They're relying on the same kind of comedy as the Big Bang Theory right now, which is just let's mention something you know of, and that'll be the joke.
Right.
And it's like, no, that's not how comedy works.
Like that tweet that you
said. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. It's just. Basically, they're just mentioning things and expecting that to carry them as jokes. Right. And it's, and it's the scary movie.
That is exactly it. They didn't mention things.
Yeah, they just, look, it's Michael Jackson. Okay.
Right. Michael
What's
Jackson.
What's the joke?
Doing some another Michael Jackson pedophile joke.
Yeah, okay, Michael Jackson's here. Now, what are you gonna do with
it? Yeah. Michael Jackson has two jokes that everyone makes.
It's the
children thing and the plastic surgery.
Yeah, that's it. All
right.
And
that's all anyone ever does.
I just use that as one example, but it's like that's what they do with everything now.
Yeah, that's what they do now.
It's like, it's the girl from the ring. Okay, what are you gonna do with her? Why is this funny?
She's from the ring.
Look, things you know. It's become like that's comedy now, and it's like no.
And and it's all trying to play the race car here or whatever, but it's very black. A lot of these are black oriented. I feel like it's because of the Scary Movie. Scary Movie was of course directed by Keenan Ivory Wayans,
mm-hmm.
and the Wayans brothers and everything.
See, like, I actually enjoyed the
like
first.
Like the black culture sort of took over.
The first one's well written.
First one's good. I enjoyed the second one. The second one's not really.
I don't remember the second one
as good. But it's you know, I still enjoyed the second one, even though it's way dropped in quality. But it's still good. But three comes in, it just goes right out the window.
The thing is, I didn't like the second one, which is interesting that you like. You like the second
well, one. Well, he also likes basketball, so.
But so does Pedro.
Ouch. Well, but I still get why Jill doesn't
I like the second one in the same way you like basketball, where, you know, you grew up with it, you know.
Okay, I see.
I recognize it. It's really bad.
Okay, but yeah, of course.
But it's one of those you saw with friends, and you quoted a lot.
Okay, right.
It's just one of the things you grew up with.
Yeah, you're connected real well with it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's nowhere near as good as the first one.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, the first one is genius. It's, you know, it's done super well.
And that's the thing. If it had stayed at one, it would still be, it would be more special than it's become.
Yeah, but. Yeah.
And there's five of them, and no one cares anymore.
God, five. Well,
you know, we almost had that same problem with Airplane. Luckily, it stopped at two.
I've never seen the sequel. I've never seen the sequel.
I've seen the sequel. It's more sci-fi.
It's the first one, but with sci-fi elements put into it.
Okay.
It really is basically just the first movie, but they're on a space shuttle instead of a, you know.
Okay.
It's sort of like near future-y type kind of thing.
It's basically, you know, we've called down the moon and there's a flight going from Earth to the moon.
Okay.
And it's the same
airplane all over.
Okay.
It's the same passengers, everything. It's really the first movie, but set in like outer space or whatever.
Okay.
But that had nothing to do with the Zucker side.
Yeah, and they didn't. They had nothing to do with the second
one. Oh, really?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't think they even directed it or anything.
How did they let that happen?
They literally had nothing to do with the second.
Huh.
I believe I read like on the commentary for Airplane, they have said that they have never seen it and they have no interest of ever seeing it.
Wow.
Look, directed by
which is weird coming from what they write now.
Yeah.
It's written and directed by one guy, Ken Finkelman. I don't know what the hell who that guy is.
Finkel is Einhorn.
But yeah, it has everybody. It has Lloyd Bridges. I don't think some actors came back, but
it's got Robert Hayes. It's got
Peter Graves playing
again.
I mean, it's the same movie.
It's the same movie, Mike. It's the same
movie. William Shatner.
William Shatner is kind of like what's that guy? Robert Stack's character.
Uh-huh.
He's that character.
It's been so long since I've seen the second one. William
Shatner is.
I bought the two in one DVD, the two in one Airplane 1 and 2.
They possibly have done a sequel if the people who did the first one wanted nothing to do with it?
Hmm. Oh well, I mean, because it was like it's more of a studio picture that you know.
It was the studio, I guess. Wouldn't they have the rights to the name though?
Once if there's a contract where they have where the studio takes the rights.
Yeah.
They probably sold the airplane.
I mean, usually that's how it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I think that's a good place to stop this.
And
month.
On that bombshell.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So yes, comedy is good. And comedy is hard.
It
is hard.
List your favorite spoof movie.
Are you talking to me or the audience?
No, in the comments.
Everybody.
Okay.
The people.
Yes. In the comments. List your favorite spoof movie.
Right.
Hey, if you want to list your favorite spoof movie, you go right ahead.
I just did.
Right.
Well, if you want to list your 2, 3, and 4.
I did those too. We talked about Mel Brooks.
But if you want to list 9, 10, 11, 13.
Exactly.
But not 12.
Though. But not 12.
You leave 12 off the list. It knows what it is.
12 does not stand.
Yeah. But next one, for sure, I feel like Mel Brooks.
All right. Well, maybe sometime in the future. Maybe not next one, but in the future.
Yeah, probably not the next one, but yeah. Yeah.
All right. So from all of us to you, happy February. No, this will be going out in March. So happy March.
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 We totally did not film this in advance at all. This is totally
March. Nope.
And we totally didn't film this.
This is March.
We totally didn't film this at all because it's an audio recording, but but whatever.
Totally unedited.
Yes.
You know.
And as this is an audio recording, you can't see me jiggle my keys in front of your face to distract you. March.
March, it's March.
The it's podcast March. Is coming from
so
inside
happy Valentine's Day,
house.
March.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day, Marchians.
God, Valentine's Day was amazing this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, seriously. For March, great Valentine's Day.
Yeah, those aliens showed up, it was wild.
Woo!
From all of us here in March.
Where are we going with this?
Nowhere fast. All right, so have a good month, whatever the hell month you're in. And we will see you next month on Triple Feature Podcast. Good night.
Awesome. Bye. Good night.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.